Tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai, haere mai, piki mai, kake mai. My name's Huhana Linden and I'm a Green List MP based in Taitokiro, and I'm here hosting a podcast where we're going to explore local issues driven through grassroots community efforts for Te Taiao and for the well-being of our people. I'm really grateful to have our auntie Janine McVeigh with us today. Kia ora, auntie.
Kia ora, Huhana.
We're going to be talking about hokianga and the journey to look for old but new technologies and land-based solutions, supporting hapū to lead and challenging council to get on board the waka. So want to pass the time over to you, auntie, if you can introduce yourself.
Ko Janine McVeigh, tōku ingoa. I have lived in hokianga for 53 years now, so almost all my adult life. My children grew up here and my grandchildren. I've been involved and active in environmental issues pretty much from day one, actually.
Whai, Janine, in terms of Hokianga Harbour, why is it significant to you and to the local community in hapū?
Well, the Hokianga Harbour itself, I think, is one of the most culturally, historically and environmentally significant places in this country. It's actually, I think, a national taonga. And it's the birthplace of Ngāpuhi and Te Rauā. So it's not just a place, it's an ancestor. So its name is Hokianga Nui a Kupe. It's the place where Kupe came and where he returned. Another name is Te Puna o Te Ao Marama, the spring of the world of light. It's really significant. What happens here is what happens, if you like, in this country. It's more important than just any old bit of water.
And so when you have tūtai or sewerage running out into that harbour, of course it impacts the mauri of the water.
Absolutely, and that's why it's called Te Mauri o Te Wai. That's the reason for the name of our community liaison group. We called it that.
Te Mauri o Te Wai Hokianga, beautiful. This is a long issue that the community and local hapū have been grappling with.
The issue that arose in the early 1980s was when the then Hokianga County Council decided it needed to stop all the septic tanks leaking into the harbour and create a sewage system. So the intention was actually quite good, but their idea at the time was to take the effluent out through a pipe into the harbour. Well, there's an immediate objection to that, of course. Many of us just said, well, that's ridiculous. So we objected. A group of us, it was then the Values Party, believe it or not, back then. And we got together with some of the people from Ngāti Korokoro, particularly Kaunatua John Klarisich. And we met up at Whakamahara Tanga Marae and plotted our way towards how we could combine to tell the council that putting sewage effluent into the harbour was environmentally and culturally wrong.
I understand you went to the Environment Court even.
In 2009, we took the Regional Council, who had permitted the consent to be renewed for another 30 years. We took them to the Environment Court and we won. What we got from that was a mandated agreement with the Whānau District Council to find a land-based solution that would be environmentally and culturally acceptable. And we did. We did. We actually managed to do it. It worked because this community did not give away the control to the council. We forced them to come to us. We forced them to be properly welcomed onto the marae and sit and listen and not control the proceedings. They didn't chair it. And we had very good advice, actually, from Gordon Jackman, Captain Delahunty's partner, who said, set some actual things you want to achieve within that timeline. You tell them, don't let them tell you. And we did.
And look at that, you know, that's grassroots, hapū-led, community-supported mobilisation, eh? And council basically got told this is how it's going to go and let's mahi tahi.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We were fortunate that the young woman who was leading our hapū-based group, I'm not a member of any of the hapū, I'm just a Pākehā busybody. But
you're a great busybody, auntie. No. You're a mover and a shaker.
Well, anyway, what we did at the Environment Court, Dallas got up and she said, no, you're not telling us who's on the community liaison group. We're going to tell you, and it has to be these hapū, and she wrote them up on the whiteboard, and we are going to control the meetings. We're going to meet at our marae monthly at a time that suits us and under our protocols, under our colour. So that's what happened, and that's why it worked. Councils and everybody always starts out by saying, it will be too expensive. They just kind of done this desktop thing and went, oh, yeah, Rauma needs this clay peninsula. There's no way you can do an online, land-based thing. We were forced by council to consult with Becca, with the engineers from Becca. And they were nice people. They were good people, but they came in with the idea that there were only certain things you could do, and they came back with various things with huge variation in it. Like they said, this will be 15 to 40 million. We said, can we just forget about the money and look at what will work? And we were fortunate again because we found Andreas Kerman, who's Swiss. He's got a long history in Europe as well as over here in terms of not just sewage systems, but water systems generally. And we said to Andreas, could you just have a look for us and see, like globally, and just see what would work for us. And he came up with what we've actually gone with, which is called electrocoagulation.
Electrocoagulation is like electrocuting the waste or something, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Where the sewage goes through, there's a series of electric plates. So it passes through the plates, which are electrified, and you could say it kind of fries it. Everything that you don't want in sewage, not just fecal coliforms, but all the heavy metals, phosphates, nitrates, viruses, all that stuff, it's either neutralized or held back. And so when it's gone through, then there's a centrifuge to separate the solids, which are now clean. They can be used for compost and clean water.
It's quite exciting though, eh, electric coagulation? And because I remember listening to the submission in Far North District Council when the group came and presented, and it was just lucky that there was better off funding available, eh, through the Three Waters funding of the generation. So when you get the technology and the money, yeah, you know, you're able to do
yeah.
it.
Well, the other thing was that the actual machine, like we got from the Better Off Fund, we got $1.1 million. Now, to the engineers we've been talking to, that's kind of ludicrous. You can't do anything for $1 million. Well, you know what? For the size of the machine that was needed for Rāwhini, because it's a modular thing, you can make it small for a small community and bigger for a big community. In other words, it's not a one-size-fits-all. $485,000. It was less than $500,000 for the machine. I mean, it's things to do around that. You've got to get your pipes connected. We also are putting in solar power because it's electrocoagulation. It runs on electricity. And the other thing that happened, this was serendipitous really, with some of the money we employed Kelly Yuckas to be community liaison. She's very proactive. And one of the things she found is pretty much as soon as she started the job, that a piece of land across the road from the current ponds where the pilot, where the machine's being set up at the moment, was for sale. So with some of our money, we bought it. Kelly had to approach the hapū connected to it and check that they were okay, that it wasn't another wahitapu or, you know, or a very important place, and got the all clear for that before that went ahead. She, like I said, she's very aware of the protocols you need to use. So the council now owns that piece of land. So although the machine is at the current pond and it will clean up what goes in, it will still have to release the water into the harbour. But because of the way that electrocoagulation works, that water will be clean. That's the first step. So the next step will be to move it all up onto the piece of land across the road, and then it will be the old sewage will go through the machine and be sorted into very clean water that can be allowed to go back down and create a wetland because it will no longer be polluted.
So this is a great win in terms of the way that it's been a long-standing issue in Hokianga, wastewater, Tūtai, our sewage going into the harbour for many years. And this is a little win for Rāwhini, but actually these learnings across others, I guess, other communities could learn around first the mobilisation and learning how to be strong and self-determining, but then also with a little bit of investment and looking for relevant technology, it doesn't have to always be super expensive.
Yeah. And the thing is, it suits us because it's quite low tech. It's not a new technology. It's actually about 100 years old, believe it or not. It's used in some European places. That's how Andreas came across it. It's new to New Zealand, but it's not new elsewhere.
And you're doing it in Hokianga.
It's not yet going. It literally arrived 2 weeks ago. And we were down there. It was very exciting. Came on the back of a big truck, you know. Last Saturday, the Andreas and my grandson and Dallas's son, so the two boys that were babies when we started this, were there helping to unpack it and build the sheds that, you know, contain the thing.
Kia ora. So since the introduction of Māori wards in our last election, how's the relationship been with council on this project and in relationship with community and hapū?
Well, it's hugely improved. Moka was always supportive of Kelly, but the current council, which now has four Māori ward members, and particularly Tamaki Rakini, who's a local one, and Hilda Harawira from the north, are immensely supportive of it. Plus, of course, the mayor and deputy mayor. So we're in a stronger position as far as they're concerned. But what you're really dealing with is council staff.
Yeah, and it is that that machinery of council and operations, eh, that you do feel like you're battling all the time the way that the legislation is applied, and actually that you end up having to appeal. You just got to go to the Environment Court on these things, huh? Isn't it? It's just important that we challenge.
Yeah, so that last year, well, the hearings in 2023 were interesting in that we took the council to court, but the defendant was one of the people who'd been working with us, a council staff member who'd been working with us, but the mayor turned up with his guitar and played for us on our side.
Oh,
which was hilarious.
I have to acknowledge the way that community and hapu mobilised for that Environment Court hearing, and it was beautiful. You know, attending as a mokopuna of the other side of Hokianga Harbour, knowing full well that everyone was there and it was the place to be.
Yeah.
That the hall was full,
more than
and
full.
The wairua was strong. Yeah.
Yeah, more than full. They had to pull out more chairs, and then people were standing and sitting and, you know, filling in all the gaps, and they had to extend the hearing from the proposed 2 days to 5 days because, and I will say this, the commissioners were brilliant. They let people speak who wanted to speak. So they, I had three objections, and one with my Green Party hat on, one with my own hat on, and one with, not forgetting another hat on, anyway, I had three. So I only spoke once, but I gave my other spaces to other people. To Cyril Chapman from Radio Totoko, he was there with a Green Party hat on speaking. So, you know, it was amazing, actually, and people sang, and you know, it was just incredible.
Yeah, that's community action right there, eh? Just coming together for kaupapa and really being determined and fierce and protecting the taiao and the well-being of all the community. So grateful for your knowledge, but also the fact you've been on this journey for such a long time. Do you have any advice for anyone who might be listening?
So let the hapu lead. Don't tell them what to do. And be persistent. You can always find a way. We were lucky. We had that little gap with the Better Off Fund, you know, with Three Waters. All the other ones could have been done by now had that not been suddenly snatched away. But we got it. We got our bit, and so at least we will have a model. And it's doable. It's quite doable for a lot less than we ever thought it would be, because we just said, forget about the money, let's look for the solution. And that was an important way to go.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Whaia Janine. This was a great chat and great to revisit, you know, the journey, but also celebrate the wins.
Yeah, it's been a very long journey, but rewarding in the end.
Kia ora, Auntie Janine. Well, there you go. There's a story about the health and the well-being of Hokianga Harbour. Thank you very much for bringing your story to our podcast today for Greening Aotearoa. And we'll chuck the links in to this podcast so whānau can go and have a deeper look. Ngā mihi nui kia koe, a Whaia Janine, and kia ora tātou katoa.
Bye-bye.
Kia ora, thanks for listening to Greening Aotearoa, a space for members to share stories of how they live out the green kaupapa in their communities. If you're a green with a tale to tell, pop us an email at greening.aotearoa@greens.org.nz. Mā te wā!